Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark with a Q. I'm your host. I'm very excited to have a very cool guest, but first of all, I want to introduce my co-host. She's a very talented mixed martial arts fighter as well as an actress. You can see her in the movie that just came out this week, Fight Valley. Serena De Jesus is on with us right now. How are you doing, Serena? Hey there, Serena. I have her on. Sometimes it doesn't pick her up for some other reason. But while we wait for her to get back on, I want to introduce you a very talented video editor. She is actually the camera's now turned on to her in the very popular hit series Vice Does America. Very cool lady from Spain, Martina de Alba is on with us right now. How are you doing, Martina?
Hey, hi, what's up? I'm doing great here in New York.
Yeah, exactly. Serena, are you there?
Yeah, finally. I heard you guys, and I'm like, why can't I talk? But, yeah, I'm really excited to, like, be on here. Oh, my goodness. Hi, you're not bangled too much.
We were just talking, Serena, about before we went on air, we were talking, me and Martina were talking about the fact that the network's doing very well. Viceland's doing very well for itself as a new fledgling network. I mean, it's great to be able to see so much support. I see so many people tell me they absolutely love the channel as well. Obviously, it makes you your life very busy, but obviously you're very happy with when it launched and seeing all this stuff kind of take place. I mean, what's your kind of feelings about what's been going on over at Viceland right now in the television section?
I think, people is working really hard to throw in, like, new and great ideas. People is super creative, and, like, the content that they're making is really different from, you know, what we used to see on TV. So it's a very new TV channel, and, it's a work in progress. But as I said before, I think, and the same you said, like, people seem to love it. They have a lot of audience, and it keeps growing, basically. I think it's hard for some people to understand how it works or what is the channel, what Viceland is, because people know that Vice was an online channel, but they don't know that it's a network now. So I think they're trying to reach out to people and, you know, get that message out that there is a TV channel going on and the way people can get it, you know, basically.
Yeah, you know, I mean, myself and I'm pretty sure Serena kind of know you guys because you guys have another online channel called Fightland, which obviously I cover a lot of mixed martial arts. And Serena's a part of the community, so it's you know, I'm hoping that they get a show on there with Viceland. But that's how I discovered Vice, and then when you guys launched the channel, I was super excited about that and to watch some of the shows that were on there as well. Like I said, you actually are an editor for the video editor for the channel. First of all, tell me how you got that gig.
So I moved to New York in 2008. Because I wanted to pursue a career as a visual artist. I don't know, like, you know, it took me many years of, like, becoming a video editor until I got the job at Vice. I met a producer at a party, and she told me that they were looking for bilingual video editors at Vice, and so I went to an interview and I got hired in 2010. So I was working. I started to work there when the online video content was called VBS. And so I've been there like maybe for 5-6 years, and I've been able to see the growth and like watch. Watch the company go from VBS to Viceland, and it's pretty amazing.
Now, coming from that idea, I mean, you obviously saw a lot of the content that came up online through Vice, and like I said, some of this content is really, really good in terms of giving a nice point of view of what's been going on in terms of the world. I mean, how has that affected you in terms of seeing all this footage in front of you and all these correspondents from around the world giving footage to you, and then you it goes in front of your eyes to be able to see how the world is maybe in a different perspective? Because obviously you've been, you know, you've been a little bit of a world traveler, but this kind of gives opens your eyes to the whole world, basically.
Yeah, totally. Like I always feel like I've been in so many places in the world that at least I've been traveling, but not really. For example, I feel like I've been in South America. I've never been there, but because I edit a lot of content about South American culture and, you know, like, or general content about the world, you know, just to what you said. And it's really eye-opening. It's not, you know, not in many places they do or they treat that type of content or, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean the stretch is just absolutely great, and that's another like thing that about the channel that I absolutely love. Serena, do you have a question?
You pretty much took my one question, but I'm going to start to say that actually Fightland wasn't my start in getting into Vice. I actually was watching Vice because it popped up like years ago on my YouTube feed, and it was really interesting to see Vice do the news and cover like situations that it seems that mainstream media tended to ignore. And it wasn't like, you know, some biased opinion. It was actually, you know, very unbiased, very real that people miss. It's like, whoa, like where was this all my life? And I continue watching it grow. So it was cool from seeing it go from somewhere to be just on YouTube to be on HBO to now have its own network. And it was just like, it was really amazing. And it's just like, you know, hopefully one day, you know, I don't know if a fighter can ever contribute to like Fightland or anything, but hey, that's something I've always wanted to do. And, you know, I guess a random question. Can anybody just walk into the offices in Vice and just kind of get a tour in like their New York offices or no?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I don't think there is any problem. You just have to schedule an appointment with someone that can show you the office. And, yeah, that's it. I don't think there's, you know, that I think that will be actually very easy.
Cool.
I know I'd be interested in doing that too if I ever get back to New York. It's been quite a while since I've been to New York.
You know,
I tend to like New York. I like New York a lot better than Los Angeles.
Yeah, you. I mean, it might be easier for you guys to go to the LA office. It's closer.
Well, I'm currently right now in Philadelphia. I might be actually going to New York next week to go train with some friends. So who knows? I might pop in and be like, "What up, though?"
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Now this kind of brings us all the way back to how you got into Vice Does America. Can you tell me how that ended up happening?
So I one day I got an email from the director of the show, Jed Thomas, and then also from the field producer, Matt Yoka, and they just asked me if I wanted to be a host. But they didn't tell me for what or where I was going to go. So they just told me it's a travel show and you will be gone for a month. And I said, okay, sounds good. Great. Perfect. I'm down. but I never had been in front of a camera and, I had no idea what I was going to be doing. I didn't know the team. I didn't know anything. And so I just said yes. and that's how everything started. They wanted to see, you know, they wanted to have, you know, I mean, a perspective from someone that is not an American, you know, like the perspective of an immigrant probably on the show, you know, Abdullah brings a perspective and then Wilbur brings another perspective. And so, you know, that's basically what they wanted. And maybe because, you know, the fact that I hadn't really been in front of a camera, they probably thought that they were going to get the most raw reactions from me, you know. So, and they needed that. Someone that was fresh, I guess.
Yeah, somebody that isn't fake, you know, going in front of the camera. And I think that's what I love about Vice, too, is just that a lot of the people that host these shows, you know, some of them are just really just very knowledgeable, and you know, you wouldn't be the average person that you would see on another network. And I say that with you know, I say that as a compliment. You do a great job. You do a great job on the show, and it also you give a female perspective as well, because
totally.
Obviously you're stuck in the RV with a couple guys as well. And then I believe now we've got the other guys in the RV, but how many camera guys were with you? Was it just the one?
So here's the thing: we were 10 in total, and we were like usually the three hosts in the Jamboree RV, the one that we are always in. And then the RTP, Chris Gill, will be with us, and the sound guy, Brandon. So, and then the other RV will be, like, the rest of the team. And we were in total 10 people. And so I was the only girl also on the trip.
Oh, boy.
So I was the only girl on the trip, and I didn't know anyone on the team either. I knew the field producer because we were together, like, many years ago. Advice, but you know, I didn't know the rest. So yeah, like that's how we were organized into RVs. The other RV, the one that production used, was better than the one that we had. They had.
I was about to ask that.
They had AC.
Yeah, I mean, yours was an 89, and then I don't know. Yeah, I'm interested to hear that the other RV was there as well. That was one of my questions.
Our RV was super slow, and like, you know, it took us a long time to understand that we had to plug the RV somewhere to be able to have AC and, you know, the fridge working and everything. You know, so the first time we plugged that RV, it seemed like it was like a radio cassette, you know, when you plug it in and everything start working.
Well, not to mention that you have, I mean, this is probably the biggest thing you've probably ever driven.
Sorry, can you repeat?
Is this probably the biggest thing you've ever driven?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's not that difficult, huh? Like, I actually found it really easy. The only thing that you have to be careful when you drive those type of things is, you know, like the way you turn to make the turns, because, you know, you go really fast. Everything falls on the ground, and like the fridge would open, and like, and that's exactly what the guys were doing.
And of course, getting out of tough spots like you did this last couple of fast episodes, trying to get out of a parking space.
God, I don't know how you pulled that off.
Oh my God! Like I didn't even know how I parked the RV in that way. First of all, honestly, like I went to pick up the guys, and then I completely forgot that there were cars parked on the right side, and then when I realized, I was like, oh my God, I'm in trouble, so I'm gonna try to, you know, move it out or fix it, and it got worse.
That's me when problem solving, so don't feel bad.
I'm glad, but you know, thankfully, you know, we got able to get the RV out of there. I thought we were not gonna be able to make it happen, honestly.
Now this has had to been a kind of a bonding experience between you, Wilbert, and Abdullah and yourself, going on this road trip. Like you said, you didn't know each other when you went on this road trip as well. So, I mean, obviously you guys came out of this as friends. And what was probably the biggest understanding between yourself and the two co-hosts? And you know, what was the kind of the big thing about your guys' friendship? And what did you learn from them taking this trip?
I mean, you know, like for me, it took me maybe a week to warm up and to understand what I was doing or like, you know, what I was doing on the trip. It took me a while, but then, you know, once I relaxed a little bit, and you know, I was able to understand what was happening and like feel comfortable talking to camera and like expressing my thoughts. And I learned a lot from them, you know, like they were a huge help for me because they have experience on that. And also, you know, their views of the world are, you know, were crucial for me on that trip. I learned a lot, and it was very, like, eye-opening, basically traveling with both. And we became really good friends, and, you know, I really like them, and I love them, and they are my friends now. So, and they were very supportive. They just know a lot about everything, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it brings me to another question. You know, you're going on this trip. These two pretty much know the United States, even if they haven't been there yet. But was there a certain location that you had wanted to see that you were excited about seeing that you did end up seeing on the trip?
Yeah. I really wanted to go to Monument Valley, because you know, I had seen that in movies, and it seemed like the most beautiful landscape ever. It seemed like another world. And we spent the night there. So that was the main thing. I was very interested in seeing landscapes, basically, you know, and of course knowing, you know, more about American politics and like driving through the states, like, and understanding or, you know, seeing how different each state is of each other. And but my main thing were landscapes. That tells you how, you know, like, little I knew about what was going to happen on the trip.
Yeah, my home state of Montana has very beautiful landscapes. I don't know if you've been out here, but I think you would absolutely love it.
I would love to go to Montana. Yeah. I wanted
to see the desert. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Serena, you have a question?
So far, what has been your favorite place to visit here in for doing the show, or just in general here in America? What's your favorite, besides New York, obviously, because that doesn't count because that's where the office is. I guess in that case, you should also exclude Los Angeles. But then again, the traffic kind of demotes it from my personal list of favorite places to be too. So, what's your favorite place in America? That's all.
My favorite place. I mean, there's so many favorite places I have, and especially after the trip. But like, I really like the West Coast, you know, Arizona. I love Utah too. And then I really like felt good in South Dakota, and maybe not only for the land, because the amazing people we met there. We met the Lakota tribe, and we spent the night with them in a teepee. And then that, to me, like, that's where the trip started for me. That's when I totally started to feel comfortable and like comfortable with and into with their you know, beliefs and ideology. So, yeah, I have really, really good memories of South Dakota, I would say.
Yeah, and that was roughly when, and right after that, I think you went to the Iowa, I think in the episode-wise, it was the Iowa State Fair, and there was a lot of, Iowa State Fair is kind of like a huge chunk of humanity, as it were, in terms of the United States. So, I mean, it looked like you were having a lot of fun there.
Yeah. I mean, we had a lot of fun everywhere. I guarantee you that, like, even if we were finding ourselves in very difficult situations and weird and, I don't know, like, we were always able to have a lot of fun, you know, a lot of sense of humor everyone had on the trip, I feel. The Iowa State Fair was amazing. It was really, really, really funny. Like, I didn't, imagine the whole calling contest. Like, for me, it was the first time in my life I had seen something like that. And I thought it was amazing. I mean, I would do it a million times more again.
Yeah, now here's an interesting question. Since you were all the way across the United States, was there a food that you tried that you didn't figure that you were going to like, but you actually did like?
Actually, everything I ate on the Iowa State Fair, you know, I have seen corn dogs around for many years, and I never dared to try it. And then I tried it there, and I couldn't stop eating them. I think corn dogs are amazing. I really like corn dogs. And I don't know, like, what else I ate. Like, that thing that it looks like a corn nut, but it's not. That is sweet. And it had chocolate on the side, outside. Everything I ate at the Iowa State Fair, I liked a lot.
Oh, geez. Yeah, every time I think of state fairs, though, I mean, in my neck of the woods, I mean, even outside Philadelphia, we got some really, like, it looks delicious, but it's sincerely unhealthy, like deep-fried Oreo cookies and stuff. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
you can only imagine what I'm cutting weight. I'm like, I want it, but I can't have it. And it's just like that internal struggle. And my mom judges me so much for wanting to have such bad things like that.
Yeah, totally. Like, that's one of the reasons for why I never tried it before. But there is rain coming on the window now. So, but like one of the things on the trip was like to be open and try different things, you know, and integrate myself in the American culture as much as I could. So, you know, I thought I'm gonna be really tired after the interviews and the Iowa State Fair. If on top of that, I eat all this greasy food, but that's what I'm here for. So I went for it, and I loved it.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of differences, you talked about this earlier, coming from a foreign perspective, you know, being from Spain, you know, how did that experience happen? How do you kind of explain that in terms of, you know, your home country versus United States? You know, what are some of the big differences that you've seen and in some of the things that you've enjoyed about your country of origin, Spain, and here in the United States?
Yeah, so one of the most amazing things about America that I didn't know is that how diverse it is and how, like, different one state is from each other and how different people is and how the ideologies of the people in America are. But that was what makes this country so beautiful. Like, in terms of people, politics, landscapes, everything, there's so much diversity. And and that's what I love the most about the country. And things that, you know, on the trip that I couldn't help it, but I was comparing Spain a lot to America because, you know, I couldn't help it. And, you know, one of the things that I think about, that I like about, you know, Spain is that we have in Spain our basic needs covered in terms of we have public health insurance, we have public education or free education for everyone. And, you know, like, we don't make a lot of money in Spain, but the quality of life there is pretty good. You don't have to make a lot of money to have a good life. It's pretty easy. And that's something that, that I miss a lot since I'm in this country. And that's something that I would love to see happening in America, you know, that everyone has those needs covered, basically.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. I mean, I'm a huge pro-education fan. I love that. You know, I love the fact that up to university that, you know, a person has an opportunity to go to university, and I think that's an university. So I'm really for that as well. It's interesting that you've come from Spain, and I have not been to Spain. The only other country I've ever been to is Canada, and I need to do that. I need to remedy that soon. My parents though have been to Spain, and they absolutely loved it there as well. I mean, what was it? Yeah, so you had a lot of basic needs covered on there as well. So tell us a little bit about about Spain and obviously growing up in Spain. And
yes,
what kind of what drove you to getting a Master's of Fine Arts there in Barcelona?
I grew up in Mallorca, which is one of the biggest islands of the Balearic Islands, and then I went to Barcelona to study, you know, graphic design, but I wanted to become a video editor, and that's why I moved to America, because, you know, the industry is here, and so I wanted to work in film and all that stuff. And sorry, what was the question?
what drove you to that? What drove you to that occupation? What drove you to wanting to do video editing?
You know, I've always been, had the need to express myself in a creative way, and I worked as a graphic designer for so many years, but I always felt like, you know, I needed another tool that allowed me to, you know, express myself in other levels, because I feel that graphic design is kind of limited. And so, you know, that's mainly why I wanted to work in film and all that stuff. Also, I love movies, so yeah, basically that.
Did you draw a lot when you were younger?
Yeah, I actually used to paint a lot, and I've always been involved in like creative activities, and you know, studied music since I was 10 years old, and playing instrument. And then I moved to New York, and I, you know, formed a girl band. And I started playing drums. I've always been involved in, you know, in arts a little bit. Yeah, that's how I feel comfortable with.
Well, wait a second. You're baiting, bait. You're burying the lead. You were in a band.
I formed a girl band in 2000, like three years ago, and where I play drums and I sing, and I have another bandmate, and it was a girl band. So I've always been involved in like music or like in arts, so in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, every time I went to New York, I wish the bar was still there. They went out of business, and I kind of hate it. But it's one of the best karaoke bars I've ever been to. It's a place called Winnie's in Chinatown. I don't know if you've ever been there to sing, but it was like where everybody was to go anyway. But I mean, have you gone karaokeing out there in New York?
I've been to karaoke in Brooklyn, though, in my neighborhood. There is a place called Manhattan Inn, and they have a piano in the middle of the living room. It's a restaurant, bar restaurant, and so every Wednesday people go there and like choose a song, and there is a guy who plays piano that plays a cover of the song that the people choose, and everyone can sing, and it's really funny. It's really entertaining.
It's a live karaoke. They have that here in Vegas too. There's a couple. They have actual karaoke. By Philippe House of Blues has a live band, and I've done that a couple times where they had a live band, and they'll have a list of like 20 or 30 songs that they can do, and then you pick one of the songs, and then they'll put up the lyrics, and they'll have a live band behind you. So yeah, I've done that before. Serena, do you have any questions?
No, I mean, well, besides, I've always wondered, like, how is it to be in a band? Like, I have a few friends who are like, you know, who have tried to get a band off and running, and they've like never had success, and it's just, someone did the thing. So, how was it, and was it everything you know, expected to be, or was there any bumps, coming in the whole thing, or what?
I've been a big fan of indie rock music, you know, from America. Like since I was a little girl, my brother was obsessed with bands from America in the 90s. So I grew up listening to those bands, and I always wanted to have a band. I wanted to have a band. I wanted to play in a band, and the music was one of the reasons for which I moved to United States, because I couldn't see those bands in Spain. And so I always wanted to move here to be able to go to shows. And one day I met the right person. I met my friend Gaia. Gaia used to have a band that became really famous in Spain, but also got really famous in America too, because they signed for the music label in Brooklyn. So I met her, and she wanted to be part of another band. And so I told her, okay, yeah, so let's let's make a band. So I bought a drum set, and then I learned how to play drums, and then you know, we started playing, and we went on tour, went to Spain. I don't know. It was great. It was great. I enjoyed it so much. I was a very happy person while we were having that band. We stopped playing because my bandmate moved to France, so we had to stop playing. But
gotcha. Who were the artists that you looked
you guys
up to? What's up, Mark?
Go ahead, Serena.
Oh, I was just going to ask, who were the artists you looked up to when you were forming the band? Who were your favorite artists?
Dinosaur Jr. was one of my favorite bands, Cebado, and Sonic Youth, and then Eric Street, and Yola Tengo, Teenage Fan Club, Swell, a ton of them, Fugazi, like all were American bands.
Awesome.
Yeah. Kind of like right. And that kind of influenced some of the grunge movement too here in the United States. Some like Sonic Youth and all them have some influence in terms of that sound.
Yeah. Exactly. So all that music was actually, it was very important for me growing up. Yeah, and it still is. I still love those bands. I still listen to them a lot. And those bands were, we actually had a playlist in the RV where we would listen and sing all together. It was really funny. Yeah, this is actually one of the aspects that was really nice too. Like Wilbert, Adula and I grew up in different parts of the world, but, you know, we were able to connect through music too on that trip, which, you know, like allow us to know each other more at a personal level. We would share experiences and talk about it, about the music and what we were doing when, you know, we were listening to those songs for the first time. It was really nice, actually. We were listening to Stone Roses and singing, and it was nice. It was really nice.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as an editor and then as a musician as well, you kind of, and I sing, I don't play any instruments, but I sometimes, you know, sometimes when I'm editing stuff, there's a certain kind of rhythm that goes into your head in terms of what how a show is edited and all that as well. Do you kind of get that same thing as well?
Yeah. Well, would you pay attention to how things are done, basically?
Yeah, and how certain parts are slow, certain parts are fast, you know, kind of a rhythm that happens when you're doing a project.
Yeah, totally. Sorry, are you, like, someone is constantly testing me. Can you hear that noise?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay, because it's really distracting. Someone is actually testing me, and I can, you know.
Okay. Well, I had one big, huge question for you, and then we'll kind of wrap up here. And that's, you know, just doing during the show and meeting all these people, because, I mean, I think we've seen some of the most extremes of the United States some of the people that have some of more of the extremist views, we'll say, to some of the people that are probably the most endearing characters you've seen. Is there one thing that you'd like the American viewers to know about your trip and, you know, what you've learned on that trip?
Yeah, I think there is so little of America that Americans and the rest of the world really get to see in the lives they found themselves living, you know. There are a lot of things happening every day that aren't truly understood or even realized by today's culture, and that not only happens in America or for Americans, it happens in Spain, it happens in the rest of the world, and I think it's really important to bring those issues to light so we can help each other to understand what's going on, you know. And I think what we did, we were put in really, like, very extreme situations, and you know, and they got the best of us, you know, because it touched to all of us in a very deep and personal level. And and also, you know, our reactions is you know, we for example, next episode on Wednesday is about we go to a forensic lab and try to identify dead bodies of immigrants that tried to cross the American, the Mexican borders. And so, you know, we get put in these situations that are really extreme. And so we get very emotional, especially me, you know. And so, of course, some people in America won't, you know, like I see that for some people, though, those reactions are like maybe out of place, or like, you know, we represent a lot of the minorities on those trips, and of course there are going to be a lot of people that disagree with us. That's all. But what we are trying to do is basically show the world what's happening.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I said, again, from you being a person that has never hosted a show before, we get raw emotion from you, in terms of you know what you're thinking,
yeah.
You're thinking, and all that as well. First of all, the camera loves you when you do your reactions. I absolutely love that. But yeah, I mean, it gives you a raw emotional voice to it. So that's another thing I love about the channel is that we are getting kind of a raw glimpse,
yeah,
into what, you know, what some of these people you get to see, you know, for the first time. So I absolutely love it as well. Serena, any other questions?
No, I just kind of want to really give some kudos to the good work that you've been putting forward through Vice, and I'm really happy, again, to see it grow. I've loved this channel. I really hope it grows and, you know, more people find it, because it's really a refreshing break from, you know, everything in the news, which always seems so orchestrated, like, you know, just like everyone's
exactly.
All fancy and everything. Like, it seems like it's all so scripted. And meanwhile, Vice, just no matter what it's covering, just covers life in general. It doesn't seem like, you know, be prepared to cover, give it some sort of glossy look over. No, it's just real. And sometimes you guys confront things no one really wants to see or talk about, and forces a dialogue between people and groups to kind of get things, you know, addressed. And sometimes you guys cover things that, you know, I never knew about. Like, for example, the Guatemalan drunken horse races. One day I got to go see that live. So,
I edit that.
Mm-hmm, that was probably one of my favorite things. And then there's another thing. I didn't know what to feel about it, because I'm a big fan of Sailor Moon. I saw this one article, I believe you edited, about that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. Well,
yes.
This is new. Like, so it's enlightening. Even if I didn't particularly didn't think about a certain subject or something that I thought I knew really well, you know, you guys kind of put a new spin. It's like, wow, knowledge. Because I like to learn. I like to learn new things and new cultures. And it seems Vice just breaks down every single barrier, whether one knows it or not. And I really enjoy that about the channel and about the work that everybody puts in.
Yeah, that's actually, like, everything that we do or we did on the trip, it was very honest. Like, the reactions were very honest, and, like, the main point of the trip was, you know, see how things work in America, like, and understand what's happening. Understand Americans and understand America, and, like, also see their reactions, you know? And so, and one of the most beautiful things, and that surprised me the most, is that even if we, you know, like, met people that had different ideologies to our ideologies, or, like, that we were confronted in some interviews and, you know, hearing things that were really hard to hear for us, we were able to connect in a very human level. So, you know, we end up making a ton of friends, or like getting along with all the people that we were meeting, which is kind of crazy, because you would think that someone that says that you know, black people were better when they were on the fields and stuff like that, you know, you will meet that person and it will be awful. As that happened at, you know, but or what the situation that we experienced at the Bondi Ranch, you know. But we were able to connect with them. And at the end of the day, we are all humans. And I don't know, it's just ideologies, which makes it even more absurd that we have to be, you know, against each other all the time for no reason, you know.
Yeah, you know, you had asked me before on we on the air what some of your favorite shows are. Obviously, Vice does America is one of them. I mean, one of the two of the ones I have to mention because I didn't, I just remembered and I shouldn't have forgotten. States of Undressed. Haley does an absolute fabulous job with that show.
Yeah, that was probably the show
that got a lot of us hooked. And then Hung's World I like too. It's a really good show. So. If I have your top 10, States of Undress, your show, and then Hung's World, I think, is the three that I watch the most often. But and hopefully Haley's doing more episodes because I think she does a really great job on that as well. But speaking of shows, I mean, anything that's coming up for you in terms of shows, are you going to be doing any more hosting for Vice? Is there any shows that you're editing right now that we may see in the future?
So, like, in terms of hosting, I have no idea. This is the first time I'm in front of a camera, and I guess the amount of videos we have will determine if I keep hosting or not. You know, it's still, like, for me, hard to see myself on TV, you know, or on camera, and, you know, it's I never did that before. So I'm still processing it. And I don't know, but like if people like it and people like the show, we might have a second season. You know, it would be really nice to be able to go through the rest of the states in America, or like go to the U.S. territories, and or even to go to Canada, and I don't know, do the same that we did, but in other territories, basically. But that will depend on the audience. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going very well. You're doing a very good job. I haven't heard any. I think a lot of people actually love you on camera. So it's great to be able to see that. So hopefully
we do get
a season two, and
hopefully,
and so yeah. So any shows that you've been editing that we need to look out for coming up on the channel?
I haven't been editing for a while, because I took a long vacation and I like kind of work as a freelancer for other companies too right now, but shows that are coming, like I saw last night, I saw Ancient Aliens, that I thought that was pretty hilarious. And you know, with the Sam Andres I like, and you basically mentioned them all. more shows will come up soon that we don't even know right now.
Yeah, exactly. I, you know, and like I said, I have some ideas. I'm pretty sure Serena has some ideas and all that as well. So, you know, I absolutely love it. At Martina De Alba on Twitter and Instagram. You can also go to martinadealba.com. You can check out some of her material as well. Anything else you want to add, Martina?
No, thank you so much. Thanks so much for watching the show and for the support and everything. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, any
hey,
other
thanks for doing
else,
all the
Serena?
Awesome work. No, I'm just going to say, hey, thanks for doing the awesome work and, you know, keeping us all informed. And if I come to New York next week, I'll hit you up on Twitter and, you know, give you a heads up.
Totally. That will be great. Let me know.
Of course.
Yeah. Martina, absolute pleasure. Love to have you back on the show. I mean, we could get into a lot more stuff, but, you know, I know we've already taken us so much of your time. You know, thanks a lot for joining us, and congratulations on the success of the show and Viceland itself. And
thank
I really
you
so look
much.
Forward to seeing some of the more content out of there.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Martina De Alba, everybody. Absolutely fabulous girl. I mean, you know, I think we could probably spend another hour talking to her about some of the other things that we did. But, I mean, the show itself is really, really good. And I really do hope it gets renewed for a second season just because there's just
really
so many states that they did not cover. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, the people, I feel that travel is a very essential part of the human experience. And I find that people who are more well-traveled and well-versed are, you know, I mean, there's no general correlation, but the more well-traveled somebody is, nine times out of ten, naturally they're, like, more intelligent and, like, you know, not as narrow-minded to certain views and certain ideas. So it's easier to strike up a conversation about things that people necessarily wouldn't want to talk about, or, you know, try and push into, you know, like a little corner and like a void. And unfortunately in this world, that's not how issues and stuff get resolved. Sometimes you got to really hit it face to face and see and look it in the eye. So I like those kind of people. I like well-traveled people. I like those who have like new experiences and you know, who are just generally open-minded. And that's what I feel that this show encourages. And like when I watch, I'm like, wow, I get the urge to go back and travel. I mean, granted, I travel everywhere fighting, but I've only been to one other international destination. That was Thailand. That was like 3 years ago. And I've been dying to go back, but I'm thinking, why not stop there? Why not do stuff that no one really goes? Why not do Mongolia? I mean, granted, I'll look like that dude Carl from An Idiot Abroad as I travel, but it's worth it. I mean, I'm only 24 years old, but the next time I blink, I'll be like 29, be like, where's the time going? And that's a general thing with people I know. It's like they feel like, oh, I can't do it. I can't travel. And then they wonder why they only stood in one place for the rest of their lives, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been dying to get my passport, and I for the past couple of years, I'm saying, oh, I gotta get my passport, I gotta get my passport this year. Hopefully, you know, hopefully when work picks up, I can get enough money to buy a passport. You know, I at least get to Canada again to see Sormaine. I've been
right.
You know, she's been begging me to come up, but. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy, you know, the stuff that they show, and it's not just the stuff that you see in tourist books. You know, a lot of places that they go to, you don't see in tourist books. You see it, you know, kind of the raw, other side of the tracks kind of style in terms of, you know, of countries that they go to. Jamaica was a great example where they
mm-hmm.
didn't go to the touristy spots in Jamaica. They went to the other spots in Jamaica that you don't know about. And you hear about the issues that they're kind of dealing with in terms of tourism. I mean, and then same thing with the states of Andres Haley. I mean, the Venezuelan episode. Have you seen that episode at all?
I was going to watch that later today because, I watched a few of them, but I didn't watch all of them. The Vice Does America was relatively new to me, but I was more watching Vice News or Vice covering a specific issue and stuff all the time. I didn't get too far into Vice Does America, but I saw the first few. I'm like, oh, and I would love to do what they're doing, but looking at how an RV works, it feels like you're driving a boat versus any like vehicle on
yeah,
the land.
I've done it a couple times, and the worry is about the wind, because a lot of times when you get those big gusts of wind, that it pushes against the side of the RV, so it kind of rocks it a little bit. And
yeah.
I'll have to ask her next time we have her on. But yeah, that was kind of the crazy thing, is you got to kind of watch out for high winds when it comes to driving in an RV. But it's crazy. But the Venezuelan—I highly recommend the Venezuelan episode of States of Undress, because that is
mm-hmm.
just—it's crazy. It's just absolutely nuts. Brendan Schaub talked about that episode on Fighter and the Kid, and it's a crazy episode. You'll have to take a look at that when you get a chance. But
I know what I'm watching.
I have absolutely no worry that States of Undress is coming out for a season two, because Haley does such a great job on that show. So the content's absolutely great. Although there's a lot of people shouting, a lot of times all the hosts will shout in front of your face, but there's so much great programming. It's an alternative programming to what you normally see. It's definitely
mm-hmm.
a millennial more network, even though I'm a little bit older. Well, I'm a little bit more millennial, I think. Gen Y, I guess, or Gen, you know. And I'm a Gen Xer.
Say about age. You're only old when you don't know how to have fun anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But it's an interesting channel. I think it does bring perspective. Their news brings a lot more perspective towards, you know, the facts, and doesn't cater to what, you know, what's out there. So that's what I love about the channel as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's absolutely crazy and absolutely nuts. But it was great to have Martina on. You know, I watched the show. I said I got to have her on my show to talk about the show and you know, discuss. I mean, having her from Spain and having that outside perspective, I thought was just absolutely awesome. And like I said, the expressions that she has on the show, and that's raw. You know, that's not acting. That's not anything. That's her just being herself, you know, in front of a situation, an awkward situation or a sad situation or a happy situation. So it was absolutely great. And yeah, it kind of sucks that she has to go and freelance a lot more now. You know, I thought that she would be full-time over at Vice, but I don't know. We'll see what happens there, but I'm pretty sure she's going to be a solid person over at Vice as well. Anything coming up for you at all, Serena?
Nothing really. As you already announced, the movie I'm in, Fight Valley, is up. It's been theaters in certain states across America, but you can also order it on Amazon, on iTunes, and other streaming services and platforms. So give it a look, you know, holla at your girl in there. I'm currently looking to go back to Vegas to, you know, I'm obviously training now, but I'm going to keep on training. I'm hoping, we're looking at me possibly having an MMA return in October. But you know what I say, you want to make God laugh, you tell him the plan. So I'll just keep that, you know, I won't put too much emphasis on that right now. Other than that, no, I'm probably going to go up to New York to go train with the Serrano sisters. So maybe if I'm up with, you know, with them, I'm going to hit up, you know, Alba again and just like, hey, you want to go get some coffee or something? Do cool stuff. So other than that, I really have no plans.
Yeah. You know, I haven't had an opportunity to sit down and watch Fight Ball just because I haven't had time. I'm in the middle of shooting a movie right now, so it's like it's been crazy. I've been getting securing locations, securing actors. We got a huge bulk of it done this past weekend. So we got one big huge weekend of shooting, and after that, it's just a couple of short little shoots that we need to do. And then hopefully we'll have everything shot that we need to get shot, and we get to the process of editing a lot of this material. So. But it's an absolutely funny thing, and I'll tell you guys about that soon. But it's crazy. Hopefully maybe I may hopefully have a show next week. I don't know. I'll take a look and see who I want to get on or whatever. I've been doing these shows a lot more often now, so it's been great to be able to go in and get into this habit again and talk to some really interesting people. And I'll have to see who else I want to get on the show coming up, or if there's anybody that's gonna call into anybody that get that piques my interest from the publicists, because the publicists are always sending me some stuff too. So we'll see what goes on that as well. You know, always, you know, Serena, always feel free to freaking, you know, let me know if there's anybody you'd love to have on the show too, and I'll try my best to get them on. So. It's great. And you two listeners as well, if there's anybody that you guys want to hear on the show, please let me know. I'll try my best to get them on. Don't expect any A-listers. They're just really hard to get, but sometimes you'll get some of those B and C listers that'll be more than willing to. So give me a holler and I'll take care of it. At SWIV on Twitter, at SWIV on Twitter, that's Somewhere in Vegas, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. You guys can check that out as well. Besides that, I think that's about it. Serena, always a pleasure to have you co-host the show with us. We'll definitely talk to you down the line in terms of the show. And you can follow Serena on Twitter at Serena Southpaw and Serena Southpaw on Facebook as well. And I believe that's about it. I don't think there's anything else you have to add, Serena, do you?
On Instagram, if you guys want to follow my adventure and pictures. So, you know, right now I'm in a little boring stage, just kind of taking a vacation back home in Philadelphia, but I will be back in action soon. So all you guys need to join up and watch the fun.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Guys, we'll hopefully see you guys next week. Like I said, I'll hopefully have an announcement soon, coming up to what's been going on. So, please do so. If you guys, I should mention that if you guys want to listen to this interview again, or you guys missed out any part of this interview, iTunes has it, Stitcher has it, you know, all the usual haunts in terms of, you know, your streaming, streaming podcasts, you guys can listen to, anywhere basically. So feel free to do so if you want to listen again, or you want to catch the beginning of the interview as well, please do so. With that in mind, we'll hopefully see you guys next week, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. I will let you guys know. And thanks everybody for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon. Talk to you later, Serena.
All right, talk to you later, Mark.